The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, Luke says, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed. The God School is designed to exegete, that is, to bring forth, that is, to declare the Word of God without the traditions of men. Luke goes on to say, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Well, what does that have to do with the gospel? What does that have to do? Why does he tell us about this Zacharias? And he goes on to say, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What triggered this message was the other day I got a phone call from an old friend, a man of faith, of a man of true faith, who called, and we hadn't spoken for a while, and he said, Don, I just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas to you. I said, why are you doing that? I said, you know, the birth of Christ took place 2 or 3 months ago. He said, what? What are you talking about? And that triggered this message, which I'm about to deliver to you. If you had a Bible like mine, this portion of the fifth verse of Luke 1 would have a marginal reference, which would bring us to 1 Chronicles 24:10. And just to give some context, the writer of Chronicles is talking about the order of priests. There was the order given by David that there should be attendance in the temple by these priests to attend, wherein God at one time says he called them to worship me. And, you know, so it gives an order. It says, of the orders, the third to Harim, the fourth to Siriam, ninth verse, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Mijamim, the seventh to Hakas, the eighth to a bayou. Now, you know, you got to grab hold of your brain here because God's word is being put forth. And, you know, who reads Chronicles? You know, that's just all this ancestry and this and that. Well, let's see if there's a little importance to this. So these courses began the first day of the spiritual new year, which was the Feast of Passover, began on the 14th day of the first month. Now, the days changed yearly because their calendar was based on the movement of the moon. So the days change a little bit. But let's, for purposes of understanding, let's call it the middle of March. Let's call it March 15th. So this Zacharias is serving, and they served for 2 weeks. So his service is the beginning of the 8th. So now 7 2-week periods have passed. That's 3.5 months. And his service begins the 8th. So if we count 3.5 months, we have April 15th, we have May 15th, we have June 15th. His service begins July, 1st of July. So what happened? It says in the 7th verse of Luke 1, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and by the way, there's another marginal reference here to 2 Chronicles, or excuse me, to Nehemiah, the 12th chapter, 4th verse, wherein Abayu is mentioned again, or Abaya is mentioned again. You know, when God speaks once, you know, give ear. If he speaks twice, pay attention. If he speaks 3 times, you know, it might very well carry significant meaning. So we have mention in Luke 1:5. We have mention in 1 Chronicles. We have mention in Nehemiah. While he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And you can read it. Please read it. Please read the whole first chapter of Luke. It's an amazing chapter. And after the angel delivers the message, Zechariah says unto him, Whereby shall I know this? You know, sometimes we've taught here before when Abraham questioned God and his promises. Things happened. Here Zacharias questions the message. He says, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And, you know, God gives a response. He says, Okay, you're going to be struck dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. For a while. So here we are. We're the beginning of July in the calendar where Zacharias is serving. He gets a message that he's going to have a son. He questioned it, but now not being able to speak, he puts a little more confidence in that message. And I'll guarantee you, when his course was over, he didn't waste any time getting home. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. So the story goes on. And it says, and as soon as the days of his menstruation were accomplished, he departed to his home. He went right away. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. You know, barren women weren't looked too kindly upon in those days. You know, some things just continue. Look at Henry VIII. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused, engaged, if you will, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And that angel has many things to say to Mary, including in the 36th month, or in the 36th verse, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, her son named John is John the Baptist. And what you get from this chronology, the order that Luke is giving, that things might be understood, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Zechariah's course finished the end of June. He comes home and Elizabeth conceives sometime early in July. 9 months is the time of a woman. So July is the seventh month. You add 9 months to July. You come up with April as the birth date of John the Baptist. He was 6 months older than Jesus, which puts the birth of Jesus 6 months later, October 1st, if you will. I'm not giving you an exact date because, again, I said the days change according to the course of the moon. So the Bible tells us that Jesus was born in October, and back to how this story started, this man who, his testimony is, he'd been going to church all his life, he's close to 60 years old, never heard the story, and he was amazed that the Bible declares the time of God's birth. I hope all of you know the word Christmas, like the word Easter, is never mentioned in Scripture. You know, you'll find it once in a King James Bible, the word Easter, but it's not a proper translation. The Greek word is that which means Passover, not Easter, but traditions invade our word, our world, even our religious world. And Jesus said, you make void, you make of no effect the word of God by your traditions. Jesus Christ was not born December 25th. It was a pagan holiday. I just to sharpen my tongue, if you will, I tuned on one of those religious stations, and probably one of the biggest voices in Christianity today is telling us about the Advent wreath and all the BS that goes along with the Advent wreath. And that is all out of heathen, pagan, if you will, worship. Don, are you poo-pooing Christmas? In a sense, yes. Well, shouldn't we celebrate the birth of Christ? Absolutely. But in a scriptural way, hey, it's a great time of the year for families to get together. So I don't know about this year with this, you know, these goddamn government authorities, so-called, implementing all this. That they're implementing upon us. You know, back in the very beginning of this so-called pandemic, I gave a message. It was a communion on the perfect remedy for coronavirus. And it's the communion. One of the things that Jesus accomplished in his earthly ministry, or at the end of his earthly ministry, was he took upon himself all our sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and he carried them away. Don, you're going all over the place. Yeah, I am. Only for one purpose. To show God's faithfulness. God, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in the church, God has taken care of it. God is faithful. God does what he says he will do. If we will look unto his word, assuredness comes, confidence comes, and confidence is part of that Greek word pisteos, which is translated faith. It's an action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. I'm going to give you a personal note. Growing up in my house, a good Catholic house, Christmas was always a troubled time. I had no understanding, and I'm not telling you because Christmas was held up, if you will, worshipped in our house, that brought trouble on. But I think it was a little bit of a warning. And thanks be to God, I had a teacher who took me into the Word, into the understanding that God is in control. And as we look at this chronological order that Luke gives us, we find that Jesus was born at that set time called Rosh Hashanah, one of the seven feast days or set times of God. On that day, they didn't blow just one trumpet. They blew two trumpets. And those trumpets were silver. Silver, the type of redemption. Jesus Christ was born in the autumn. I don't want to get in to, at this time, study outside Scripture, but there is one witness to God which tells us that the actual birth date of Jesus Christ was October 4th, 2 BC. And when Christ will come again, he's coming back on the same day, that set time, Rosh Hashanah, called the Feast of Trumpets. He will return the same day he first came. Before we close, I would bring you another word out of the 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. King James reads, for the customs, there's a marginal reference. It says, statutes or ordinances are vanity. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. The work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. And they deck it with silver and with gold and fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born because they... that is, held up, because they cannot go. And we cut down and put up in our houses Christmas trees. They're vain things. They are part of the traditions of men which make void the word of God. I tell you, God's word, it's more real than all the traditions of men. And yet, the whole Christian church celebrates this birth of Christ and substitutes the dates and takes away from the declarations of God, which are faithful, and celebrates a pagan holiday. Go have fun on this day. Take the day off. Enjoy it. Enjoy it with your family. Enjoy it with your friends. But recognize the truth of God's word. I want to end this message quoting from my pastor regarding the message of the birth of Christ, which we call Christmas. He said, Christmas tells us that Jesus loved us enough to step from heaven's throne and be kinned, become part of the family with you and me, and grow up learning what life here with all its problems is like. That now, at the right hand of the Father, we have one touched with all our infirmities, sensitive to our problems, tempted in all ways that we are tempted, who still took our sins and bore them away as the scapegoat, that he might redeem us. Man is restored and God's life is placed in us, and we are in training for eternity. And that's the God School for today.